Well, hello.
Good evening.
Good evening.
Good evening.
I'm here.
All right. Nice. Welcome.
Thank
Welcome
you.
to
I
the
did
show.
it.
Indeed. And good morning to those who, would listen to this in the morning or whenever. We do have listeners
Somewhere.
somewhere, yeah, all over the world.
Good. Well, count me as one of
That's always
So,
nice to hear.
all right. So welcome to the Writering Podcast, and we welcome Crystal. Who was so graciously agreed to join us today?
As part of my mission to make sure you don't talk so much.
Indeed. So why not? Why don't you take the lead and introduce her and start off the questioning, so I
Yes.
don't talk that much.
Okay, so I mean, everybody knows who we are already. I'm Martin, this is Greg, and yeah, he talks far too much, as we already have established. And joining us tonight, today, for the as the first guest of the new season is Crystal Redding, a fellow author of urban fantasy. Crystal, why don't you tell us about yourself? What sort of things that you're writing, and what sort of things have inspired you?
Okay. Well, obviously, I really enjoy the urban fantasy genre. I've read extensively in it. I guess I started off from horror, kind of branched fantasy, weird kind of segue there, but right now I'm writing my first urban fantasy novel. So that's been a fun trip, learning a lot of new things. I guess some
Always a
interesting
big
things about
venture.
me. Definitely learned so many different things and still learning things and making lots of mistakes, but that's to be expected.
It's how we learn, isn't it?
Yeah, exactly. Let's see. Interesting fact, I'm from Alaska. I live in the South now. So very big difference. And I think that's about it. Not that interesting, I don't think. I like to write. That's a big thing. I like to read, so I'm a big reader as well.
Well, I think one of the things that connects both us here and also everybody who listens to us is the love of writing. We've all got that in common, at least.
Right.
Indeed.
Exactly.
What I would like to ask is, why urban fantasy? Can you pinpoint a reason why you got into it, or is there any aspects of it that you are quite fond of? How did that come about?
Oh, good question. Like I mentioned, I actually started reading. I guess it's kind of odd, but horror. I was really interested in the horror genre, and for the longest time, I thought I would be a horror author. And then I think by chance, I picked up a book, and I cannot, for the life of me, remember the first urban fantasy book that I read. But I started being interested in vampires and werewolves, and from then, sort of found my way into the urban fantasy genre. And it was just fascinating seeing, these supernatural creatures, that I've read about from a horror standpoint or setting in a totally different setting in, modern times, and, in an urban setting. And I don't know, it just, clicked with me. It fascinated me. And just the fact that can lose yourself, you can immerse yourself so well in that type of, because, I live in an urban, sort of area, and it's easy to kind of imagine, you know, like a secret society of supernatural creatures, or, you know, even one where in an alternate reality, you know, they're in the open. So that kind of spoke to me and kind of made me want to explore that genre more. And the more I read it, the more I was certain that I definitely wanted to start writing in that genre.
Yeah, definitely. There is that advice that many writers hold true, is that write what you know. So, you know, if you live in a big city, it's kind of challenging to write about farmers and the like.
That's true enough.
And are you writing kind of a darker sort of urban fantasy? Like, some are there any remnants of your horror past, or is it something more lighter or more uplifting? That's not the right word.
Definitely not. There are definitely light moments. I think I like to blend a lot of things that I've read in the past, kind of maybe horror elements, but not, or maybe just a darker tone. But there are definitely lighthearted. I definitely like to spice it up with a little bit of humor here and there. Of course, I find it funny, so I'm not really sure if the readers find it funny.
Speaking as one of them, but I certainly do.
But I definitely always, even like shows or books, the blend of balanced out or counterbalanced with darker themes. I think they complement each other very well. So I try incorporating. So I don't really find myself using more or going back, I suppose, but I suppose it's for the better. But I definitely try to blend a little bit of everything that I've taken from the things that I've read. Maybe not as a whole, but at least bits and pieces of it, if that makes sense.
Yeah, absolutely.
And before Martin jumps in with the next question, let me just ask, if you had to pick one, vampires or werewolves?
Definitely werewolves.
Okay.
Definitely werewolves. I don't know. Something about being undead, like, it's not really appealing. Although I guess being eerie isn't really appealing either. I don't know. No, definitely werewolves.
Okay.
I'm still reeling from the fact that apparently I'm asking the next question. I mean, I wasn't prepared for this.
Well, you know, your aim was for me to talk less, so.
Well, yeah, there is that. But, I mean, as you can tell, Crystal, this is a very professional outfit we're running here.
No, I'm having fun. But, well, Martin, so you've written about vampires.
I have.
So you have, like, a favorite type of vampire, or do you have a favorite vampire, I guess, from a different, like a show or a book, like specific,
a kind of favorite mythos, I suppose you're going for. I think the one that kind of inspired me the most would probably be the Underworld movies. Although I still quite liked the aspect of vampires still being able to exist in the daylight. I even came up with a reason for that, so that was a good save on my part, I think. The main inspiration for me probably came from Underworld, and kind of wanting to try and expand on some of the views and ideas from that, I guess. But I certainly think that something you and I have in common, Crystal, is the fact that we want to try and blend darker things with bits of humor, certainly that seemed to be the way my my second book went. It is always good to have humor in a book, as long as it's not out of place, if it's right for the characters, and certainly with the characters you write, it's definitely appropriate.
Yeah, but there's also that humor is such a fickle thing, I feel like, especially writing it. I mean, I assume that stand-up is very difficult as well, and just any type of comedy, really. But definitely writing comedy has been a complete learning experience for me, because it's very hit or miss, I found. Because something I find funny, you know, just fail. Like, but I don't know.
Well, it's one of those things where you can't please all of the people all of the time, really, isn't it? I mean, I'm sure there's a lot of the things that I've written that I thought were hilarious, and some other people may have found funny, but other people may have just gone, what is he kind of trying to do? But yeah, I mean, if I was to level a question towards you, then it would probably be... The characters that you've got in the story you're writing at the moment, I believe we're talking about Issa, V, and Ron. Those three. They've all got a very sort of mythological background to them. Is mythology something that's important to you as well?
Yes, especially Greek mythology. I was obsessed with it when I was younger. I feel like a lot of kids were, but I don't know, the stories just fascinated me, that you know, these people from, you know, these times would have, you know, all this mythos and all these, you know, gods and goddesses, and, you know, they like heroes, and just, you know, just the stories and all these stories that were passed down. And, you know, just different versions, and it just fascinated me. And then, so Greek mythology, and then, you know, there's so many other cultures that have, you know, all these other mythologies and all these other tales, and, you know, some of them are just as entertaining as, you know, books out today.
Absolutely.
Right, and so I want for all these mythologies into one book. And so you have Issa with Egyptian mythology and her background, and Ron with Arthurian and King Arthur and his mythology, and then a little bit of Hindu and Indian mythology thrown in there. And so they're all interacting with each other.
From my perspective, as someone who's who eagerly reads every little snippet of the story that you post, I definitely think it's a blend that's working for you.
Well, thank you. Yeah, I wanted to get, I guess, the best of everything, so it's kind of like a blender of just every mythology possible. Like right now they're in, you know, forward to heading for the Greek underworld, and it's a lot of Greek mythology that they're interacting with, but, you know, I have plans, you know, for like Norse mythology and a whole bunch of other mythologies just all interacting with each other in a you know, more or less urbanized version of let's say Greek mythology or Norse mythology, or at least
it's super fun to read. It seems like a crazy melting pot of insanity, which is just brilliant to read.
Yes, I feel like with all the mythologies interacting with you, you get so many different and exciting and just crazy and off the wall interactions. Like, it just basically writes itself, and I'm just kind of along for the ride. It's, you know, the stuff that I would want to see, like, oh well, you know, they're interacting with Achilles, like what would happen? And from there it just, like, the idea just explodes, and it's like, yeah, so that's exactly what I was.
I may chirp in with a question. because this is fascinating that you use mythology as a as not just a backdrop, but also as an integral part of the story and of the setting. But before I do that, I'm known, apart from talking too much on this podcast, I'm known for my love for the meta aspect of writing. And I just realized that urban fantasy is for me is more based on my experiences as playing the World of Darkness games back in the day. I don't know if any of you familiar with them.
It sounds vaguely familiar.
Vampire the Masquerade and all those kinds of there was a separate setting for werewolves and changelings and those kind of creatures, and a lot of obviously we are talking about the 90s mostly, so a lot of the stuff like Underworld and the urban fantasy of today is kind of build on those. But nevertheless, it's kind of fascinating to me that when you talk about kind of taking a darker turn as you progress, is do you think, and this is before my question about the mythology, do you think you can explore overarching themes and morality and those kind of things without turning a little dark and without turning a little serious?
Well, I believe you can. It's just those aren't the stories that I'm interested in. I like stories that kind of examine, the human character, or even the human character as told through, these creatures like vampires. They were once human. And they've lived so in a lot of them, live long lives, so just exploring, their feelings, their loss, just, really delving into the characters. Darker stories. It's not just gonna be all sunshine and rainbows.
Yeah. All right,
Yeah,
Martin,
Crystal.
do you Crystal's here? Yes, she's been here, which is more than I can say, you know. Stop fiddling with things.
I feel like I've cursed your
I didn't
podcast.
fiddle with anything. I was gesticulating wildly over the top of my phone. I was nowhere near it.
Okay. so I was
I'm
just
holding you in responsible, Greg. It's not my fault.
it's not, it's not like I reached out across half Europe and, pushed something on your phone.
So you say.
Yeah, me and my ways. So anyway, I was just going to say that even though that like you said, many readers won't consciously recognize the amount of research that went into a particular detail. They do recognize the care, and they do recognize, I think, the Crystal, you said it's kind of backward that you built up the story, which I think is actually the right way from a reader's perspective, because it's the character that we identify with, we follow through all those things that they experience, and that kind of care will show up in the work, and that's what keeps us interested and invested. So that's a pretty nice way to go about it, I would say.
Yeah. I mean, after all, the characters are actually our window into the story you want to tell.
Absolutely.
So, when the characters are crafted with such care and precision, and what is clearly a huge amount of love for the characters, that comes through in the way they're written.
I am the one who does things backwards, and I cannot start writing anything until I have the world in place, in which to tell the story. And it's that one is a strange process because I know a lot. I do a lot of research as well, but not necessarily into the characters. But instead, why is the world the way it is? And once I have that down, then I can put characters in it and start throwing things at them. Which is,
I think in this regard, I think out of the three of us, I've got the easiest job there because the world in which I'm telling my stories is this one. So unlike you, Greg, I'm not crafting a world from scratch, and I'm unlike Crystal, I'm not crafting a world that's so heavily based in mythology. I just use what's already here. Which may be seen as the lazy way to do it.
I was just going
I
to
don't
say
know.
that you're a slacker.
Was actually going to say that my the actual urban fantasy book that I'm writing currently is actually set in, my current city. So I wouldn't call it lazy. It's just I know it well and it works with the characters and so I don't think it's lazy, Martin.
Oh, that's good to hear. At least I'm not alone.
Write
I feel better now.
what you know. That's a golden rule. Unless
Very
you don't know
important.
anything like me, and then you write what you fancy. Another topic that I wanted to raise is that I'm very glad that we get to talk to women who write because it's awesome. But even more than that, writers of color. And I think diversity is a hot topic currently, and we would love to hear your thoughts on it or your experience with it and what you think is wrong with the world or how can we make it better.
Other
And
than
just
a
want,
lot.
yeah. I mean, we should do everything we can, and there's a lot wrong with it. It would be really interesting to hear your perspective. Is it something like, for example, is it something that you actively and consciously translating into your writing, or do you think it kind of shows up anyway, or is it something that you feel is has affected your career or your life in some way?
I guess I'll preface it just by saying that this is my personal experience, so I can't speak obviously for everybody. But there are two sides, I suppose, to this because I am female and I am a person of color. And sometimes those mix or blend, but sometimes they're completely separate, if that makes any sense. So I suppose I'll try to speak as both a woman and a person of color. So growing up, there weren't a whole bunch of books that included people that looked like me. So I guess as a person of color, it didn't impact me. It didn't make the books that I read any less enjoyable. it was just something that was kind of always in the back of my head, like, well, you know, where, you know, the people of color, where, you know, Black women, where, you know, Black people, where are these characters? Like, they're in the world as well, but you don't really see them too often. And a lot of the main characters, you know, you're expected to get in that character's head, to feel like, you know, you're living the story through the character's eyes. And, you know, depending on the author, sometimes it's really easy to, you know, forget who you are and to fall into that narrative. But again, sometimes in the corner of my mind, I'm like, well, it's a little bit difficult to do so. But again, it doesn't make the story any less enjoyable that representation isn't there. It's just something that you notice. And it's something that I feel for a long time has been expected of people of color to just kind of accept that the main characters of these stories that you love are not going to represent you. And that is the norm. That's the norm. So you just learn not to expect those things. You just learn not to expect it. So when you do see a person of color or a woman, you know, in a strong role, you know, it's just, it's exciting. It's new, it's novel, it's great. Mm-hmm. On the other hand, I feel, especially more recently, and again, speaking from personal experience, I do enjoy that there's more talk about, that people are talking more about adding or being more inclusive and, you know, being LGBT friendly, being, you know, more person of color friendly, and adding these characters and these representations, you know, in the story. I won't say that I set out to make Issa the main character of the book. It kind of just happened, but I'm really glad that, you know, she's a strong, you know, person of color and she's female for that series that I'm working on. And even in my current novel, the main character is a white male that I'm writing from his perspective, but it's in first person perspective, but his partner is a female and she's Black. And I didn't do that on purpose. I didn't do that intentionally. That's just who the character came to me as. So, like I said, I am very glad and that there's such a positive light in including and being inclusive. But then on the other hand, I do not necessarily support adding diversity just for the sake of diversity, which is funny because I actually just had this discussion. I was going through characters in my own novel and just sort of picking out diverse characters and like, is this represented? Or is this not? And the thing is, I didn't want to just add representation just to add it. I wanted it to be meaningful, and I didn't want the characters to feel flat or just added in, you know, as background characters, and then, you know, to say, hey,
token characters.
I'm here, I'm represented. Right. Because, again, as a person of color, having those token characters doesn't make me feel good as either. You know, you want them to have meaningful stories. You know, you don't want to fall in love with them. You want to hate them. You know, you want them to be actual characters. So I feel like there's two sides to the issue. You know, there needs to be a talk about it. And I feel that, you know, it should be more accepting to see, especially on the covers of, you know, urban fantasy or, you know, any genre really, but especially urban fantasy. When I go, you know, to the bookstore and I look at all these titles or the book covers, I don't really see any, you know, I don't see any Black women. I see women, which is great. And that's what really, that's another point that drew me to the genre is, you know, the strong female characters that they have in these roles. But I would really love to see more, you know, like, maybe a strong Asian character or a strong, you know, Black character in those roles as well and on the front covers of these books. And I'm afraid that publishing companies may not be as likely to put people of color on these books for fear that they won't sell. So yeah, I'm really glad that there's talk about it, and you know, we're discussing these things. And I hope that in the future, that we won't need these discussions, that it'll just be something you can go into a bookstore or, you know, pick up a book and feel represented enough, or that it's not the norm for it just to be one way, I suppose.
Absolutely.
That would be, I guess, my hope for the future.
You know, what's interesting is that, and this is one of my favorite examples, is that if you read The Lord of the Rings or any Tolkien, is he uses very, very little character descriptions, and he gets away with it too. That's kind of the benefit of, you know, working out 5,000 years of history and three fully fledged languages before setting out to write a story. But he gets away with it, and it's it got me thinking. I read the Scalzi essay on something different, but it got me thinking that lately, because movies and TV and the visual representation, like even on the covers of books, is such integral part of the story, that we kind of you know, we go in with certain expectations, whereas with The Lord of the Rings, Aragorn could be a person of color. There's practically nothing in text that would say otherwise. Well, maybe not Aragorn, because I think there's a brief description of him, but the majority of the characters, and that's kind of as a white guy, it's somewhat dangerous ground for me to navigate. But I think it's going back to that, for the reader to be able to identify with the character, because they are physically not precisely defined, beyond, you know, the obvious, like if it, like gender is something that you can't go around, but with skin color, that's something that can be done and has been done. That would be just, you know, just your imagination on the page, and there is no, you know, it was actually a very hot news item maybe a year or two back, is that whether Hermione in Harry Potter is black or white. There is actually nothing in the text that would say that she's white.
Actually, there is.
Is there?
You don't. Somebody on Twitter actually found, actually responded to a post that J.K. Rowling had made, because I think at the time there was a Harry Potter stage show being done or something like that.
Yeah.
And there was a person of color who had been cast as Hermione. And J.K. Rowling had said, oh, yeah, this is great. I mean, yeah, there was never any description saying she's one way or the other. And yet somebody had actually found an excerpt where it actually specifically says that Hermione has quite pale skin, which, aside from the fact that it's showing that J.K. Rowling has no knowledge of what's in her own books, it does also kind of refute that. But that's just one particular. While we're on the subject of diversity and things, it does pain me to admit that I've still got a long way to go when it comes to diversity. I'm definitely writing strong female characters, because that's one thing I've always wanted to put in my books. because for so long, every time I read a book, there was never any really decent, strong female characters, except for the Honor Harrington sci-fi mentioned in the past. So I wanted to bring that in. And I'm thinking about the LGBTIQA plus inclusivity. The book I'm working on at the moment does actually prominently feature a character who's lesbian and her fiance, who is bi. But I'm really struggling with making sure that people of colour are properly represented. And as Crystal mentioned, not in a way that makes them feel like token characters, but where they're actually represented as proper, fully fleshed out characters that are there because they're appropriate for that position in the story.
Okay, let me stop you right there because you're breaking up horribly. Is it just me?
Well, that's your fault, Greg.
No, it's me as well.
Okay. Could have been my mic flapping around.
Yeah, that you know, stop flapping around. Stop
are you hearing me better now?
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. So, I don't know where you heard what you heard up to.
I heard most of it.
Okay.
And you guys mentioned Harry Potter a couple years back when The Hunger Games was actually really popular. There is a whole, I suppose, debacle about what the nationality or race of Rue, one of the characters from the book, was. And they cast Rue as, you know, a little black girl, Amandala, and I cannot remember her name, her last name. But, and there was, you know, people on Twitter who were like, you know, she's not black. There's nothing, you know, in there that says she is. And I do believe that there is a very, very vague, brief mention of it, of her skin tone. In the text, but people had, you know, had already come up with their own, you know, what she looked like in their own heads. And so they were against, originally, I believe they were against Rue being, you know, not what they expected, I suppose. I don't even think it was necessarily her skin color, just not what they expected her to look like based on their reading. And again, there weren't, I don't think any indications of what she looked like, what the little girl looked like. And I think that's what kind of started, well, I think she looks like this. Well, you know, she shouldn't look like that. She should look like this. So along the similar lines of the Harry Potter with Hermione.
Yeah. Hello.
It had nothing to do with me.
I didn't boot you. Well, technology, right?
Yeah.
So what I was going to say is that kind of that could be both the solution and kind of another Pandora's box to open if the practice would be kind of widespread again to kind of let go of strict physical descriptions of characters. And I kind of like first person perspectives because they kind of prevent you from overly describing your main character because, you know, it feels awkward when it's coming from a first person perspective.
Feels forced. I should know. I tried.
That kind of, I think, diversity comes from, from the natural need or the mindset of the writer themselves to if they are not inclusive, in their heads, then no amount of editing and writing diverse characters will help, because it will not ring true. It will be just a gimmick that they do for whatever reason. And on the other mm-hmm. hand, those of us who kind of naturally gravitate toward, like Martin said, he writes strong female characters because he always wanted to do that. I'm the same way. I'm writing about female characters because I find them interesting, and I find them more interesting to impersonate, so to speak, during writing, to get in their heads than I find, you know, my own gender, because it's something new and it's something exciting for me. But so those of us who do have that inherent acceptance and inclusiveness in our heads, we kind of just stay dumbfounded by all this controversy around, like, you know, a movie adaptation, casting choices and whatnot. But then again, neither of us are a person of color or a woman. So we definitely have a very different experience at this.
And mm-hmm. I just have to say, I find this kind of humorous. The whole reason my main character for the novel that I'm writing is a male, and is because I felt that there was an oversaturation of strong female characters in specifically in the urban fantasy genre. I can't speak for other genres, but and so my question for you is, how do you feel about the portrayal of, I will say, quote unquote, the strong female characters within the urban fantasy genre, I guess currently? Because I feel like there are strong female characters, and then there's the stereotypical strong female character where they say they are, but, you know, their actions prove otherwise, which is, I became tired of reading, you know, those types of characters, those type of females. You know, I was excited when I first started reading in the urban fantasy genre, because there were all these, you know, female characters, and, you know, they were, you know, the main characters of these books, and I was so very excited. But then the more I started, you know, reading, the more books I started reading, I started noticing a trend, and not a good trend, of female characters saying, or literally stating, oh, I'm a strong female character, or I'm a strong female, or, you know, I'm an independent woman, but, like, literally in the next scene needing to be rescued, or, which doesn't necessarily make you weak, but, you know, when you spend most of your book, you know, being kidnapped,
it does kind of undermine their position as a strong female
exactly.
character.
Right. And it's like a trend. And so one of the main pushes for me to write the novel that I'm writing now is because I got tired. Actually, which is odd for me to say as a woman, but I became tired of, you know, those types of female characters. And I wanted to see a male character actually in this genre, sort of along the lines of the Dresden Files. You know, I love that series. And I mean, if, you know, Jim Butcher had made Harry a woman, you know, that would have been interesting as well. But I do like what he's done. You know, he's a well-rounded character. And that's kind of what I hope for, you know, moving forward in the urban fantasy as it, you know, grows and continues to grow, that, you know, there continues to be all these strong, or all these female characters, but they actually embody what they say they are. But I really don't feel they should be saying that they're strong anyway, but that's another story. But actually embodying, you know, these traits, and they can have flaws, they don't have to be perfect, but I feel like I rambled because I asked you a question. But yeah, what is your perspective on how do you, I only know what I see from me or from my perspective reading these novels. How do you view some of these, you know, strong female characters on your end, from your perspective?
I sort of think you're not wrong about the sort of characters that say that they're strong female characters and that they say and try to act like they're, you know, these tougher characters, and then suddenly all of a sudden next scene they're in dire peril again. You're certainly not wrong there, but purely from what I have seen, I still don't think there's enough of the actual strong female characters who say, who don't actually say they're strong characters, but they show it.
Yes.
By just, you know, generally being badass and awesome and not needing to be rescued.
Right.
It's that kind of character that I'm certainly trying to bring in. How successful I am is a matter for debate. It's not really for me to say, I don't think. But yeah, from what I've seen, the actual strong female characters aren't prevalent enough. But that's just that's my personal opinion there.
Oh. I mean, it's an interesting opinion. I was just curious about it. And the funny thing is, a lot of these female characters that say they're strong but they aren't, or you know, hold themselves up to this ideal of being, you know, strong, badass, you know, independent woman, these stories are written by women. And so, and I mean, a couple of them, you know, may be written by men, but overall I feel like men and women should be able to enjoy stories and should be able to write stories about women characters. And they can be weak or strong. And weak, when I mean weak, I don't mean physically, but, you know, have flaws and have weaknesses. They should be able to write and enjoy these stories. So I feel like you do have a say, especially since you're writing these characters, you do have a say in it, whether, you know, these portrayals come off as, or whether they succeed or not in portraying what they're trying to portray. Because overall, they're just characters, whether they're male, female, you know, person of color or not, you know, they're characters. The outside doesn't necessarily matter. It's, you know, what they do, their actions, and what's, you know, going on inside their brain and, you know, emotions that really matters. And I mean, if you Absolutely. Fail on that level, then should anyone really be enjoying the character? I don't know. Maybe that's harsh.
What?
No, I think it's. I think you raise some very good points there.
What I was thinking is, first, it's really interesting that when we say strong female characters, it's. I always kind of understood it as not strong as in, you know, a strong independent woman, but strong as a character. So. You know, it's not a token character. It's actually it's a fleshed out, detail layered character that kind of show.
Well, that's just you over complicating things.
and the other thing is that and I can't say with much authority since I don't really read urban fantasy. The last time I did, it was the Word of Darkness novels, which were kind of great, but, you know, they are 20, 30 years old now, which makes me really old. But I feel that urban fantasy is kind of the thing now with, and it has a very healthy overlap with young adult literature. And those people who like to read these kind of stories and who kind of try to emulate these kind of stories, are flooding the market, in a way, because publishers recognize the need for diversity, but because they are led by old white men, they don't understand it necessarily. Respect for the exception, of course. And so we end up with kind of poorly written material on the market, which otherwise wouldn't have made it there. And then we end up with these cliche characters and these cliche situations. And I think that will equalize over time, just as it did, in the 70s, 80s, or early 90s, the fantasy genre was flooded with just horrible, horrible writing, because that's what was hot, and everybody growing up who didn't learn how to write yet tried to write fantasy. So it will get better. That's my take on the whole thing, and we will get back to actual strong characters that happen to be female or people of color or whatever. We just need to kind of weather this wave of inability to write. I think that's kind of a major inability to write and inability to understand what people are looking for when they are looking for diverse characters. That's a combination that's happening right now.
Yeah,
I can see it. Yeah, that's true. I mean, I would definitely like to see. Well, if anything, because I was so interested in the urban fantasy genre and, reading so much of it. And then, eventually, I started noticing that trend of why aren't these characters who they say they are? It was pretty much what made me or inspired me, to write the book that I'm writing now. Because if I picked up another book where the woman was some badass criminal or not criminal, but investigator or private eye, which is like 80% of the urban fantasy market right now. Like I was going to hurl. And I just did not want to read another book with literally the same character, just written slightly different. And so that's why the books like the Iron Druid series and Harry Dresden Files like really stood out to me. I'm like, oh, finally, like something different. It's not the same, one character, one female character, just, different tight clothing, kicking different monster butts. I mean, Buffy did it best. And if you're not going to write Buffy, then don't, because you're not going to do it as good as Joss Whedon. You're just not.
All hail Joss Whedon.
You're biased. Shut up.
That's very true. I have I have an autographed Joss Whedon picture up on my wall, I'm a huge Buffy fan, and yes, that's the kind of urban fantasy that I think. Would benefit our current literary landscape. Those kind of female characters like Buffy.
Right. And, not just Buffy, there's, Faith and Willow. And, those are all, strong characters. And, I watched Buffy growing up and, I loved that series.
I think we all did, actually.
But I love that series, and because she was real. She had real problems. She dealt with some really heavy, stuff. Mm-hmm. Besides, like the monsters, but I mean, like emotionally, like she died and came back.
Repeated.
Spoiler alert, I guess. For whoever out there who's not seen Buffy, sorry.
If you haven't seen Buffy by now, tough.
Yeah.
But, you know, like, that's some heavy, you know, stuff for, you know, that I wasn't really used to seeing, especially a female character, you know, have to deal with. So that was just fascinating. And Joss Whedon, you did a really good job with Buffy.
Speaking of Buffy, though, are you following the TV show Winona Earp?
I am not.
I've heard of this through one of the other writers that I follow. It's something that I still need to check out because it does sound pretty amazing.
Yeah, it's kind of a modern day version of Buffy, and it has a healthy amount of mythology to the setting, although not ancient mythology, but kind of the mythologic version of the Old West, like Wyatt Earp and the old westerns, and it's really amazing because they did really pull off that kind of Buffy-esque mix of really like female characters with agency and humor and drama and all that stuff. So I highly recommend it.
I'll have to check it out. That sounds, and I'm actually really interested in Westerns, just the stories that are told. I guess Westerns and like old samurai movies, I feel, share very similar storylines.
Yeah.
If that makes sense, you know, like sort of like the lone character comes into town and, you know, cleans up the mess, you know, made by, you know, these bad characters, and so I really love those.
I mean, let's not forget that I think it's The Magnificent Seven was originally a samurai movie.
Oh yeah, yeah,
exactly. And so I really enjoy those types of stories. So that show sounds right up my alley. But eventually, I would love to write a book. What is it called? The Weird West.
Yeah.
Genre. Western fantasy genre, because that's just fascinating. Like, there's so much potential in that, I feel. Uh-huh. Although there have been some horrible movies and books out there, I won't name them, but, or at least I didn't name them, but I feel like there is a lot of potential, and maybe that'll be the new YA or urban fantasy of the future. Yeah. It'll be weird. Like, there's stories that should be told or need to be told.
And just another tip, if you are not watching it, you should. iZombie is another kind of excellent example of kind of urban fantasy-ish setting, although no vampires, just zombies. But with, you know, with real female characters and not just, you know, badass protagonists who happen to be played by a female actor. So that's another recommendation. And they are, like, both Winona Earp and iZombie, the same as Buffy, they were just excellent storytelling. And I think we can learn a lot about how they use character and plot and blend in the setting to move things forward.
Awesome. Some nice recommendations there. However, we have been going at this for about an hour now, so I think it might be time to slowly wrap it up.
Do you want to do that? So, you know, the percentage of me talking
is low, it's slightly
within acceptable and tolerable levels.
Yeah, sure. Okay, well, we're going to wind this up now. So As usual, there will be links to everybody's profiles in the show notes. You can contact us through Twitter, predominantly. We're all on Twitter. We're all incredibly awesome as well. I highly recommend visiting the Twitter account of our very wonderful guest here, mainly because she writes really awesome stuff. So, by all means, check out Crystal Redding on Twitter. As I say, accounts will all be in the show notes, as well as our own account, the at Writerings page. And by all means, please feel free to drop us a line. You can leave voice messages here on Anchor. You can send us messages through Twitter, as I've just mentioned. And we also have an email address, which is a writerings. Dot, but Greg, help me out. I can never remember the email address.
writerings.podcast@gmail.com.
I knew that. I was just testing
Oh, yeah.
So yeah, you can drop us a line there as well. So yeah, I guess all that remains is for me to say farewell and goodbye, and for the others to say whatever they have to say as well. I'm terrible at this.
Well, thank you guys for having me. It's been fun.
It's been a pleasure.
Absolutely, and thank you, Crystal, for taking the time to talk to us and to teach us about a different sensibility. I think in general terms, we all agree on the big stuff, but hearing hearing from different viewpoints is always a good thing, and yeah, I look forward to reading your book, definitely.
We all do.
Oh, thank you guys. Yes, it's been very insightful, and I just thank you guys so much for inviting me, and it was a blast.
It's been an absolute pleasure having you.
Well, thank you, both of you, for keeping me from talking too much. And thank you, really.
It's a constant struggle, Greg. It really is.
Well, high maintenance, artists, and thank you for those listening for tuning in, and we will talk to you next time.
Next, that's it. We'll talk to you next time. Thank you very much and good night.
Cheers.
The podcast you just heard was published with Anchor. Got something you want to say to the creator of this show? Send them a voice message using the Anchor app, free for iOS and Android.